Coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
And welcome to Hagman. It's the Hagman Report for today. It is Friday the 13th, and boy, is it ever. if you would know what has gone on behind the scenes today, you'd know it's Friday the 13th if you happen to be a superstitious type. Yeah. Anyway, I want to welcome you to the Hagman Report, where truth can't be silenced. Speaking of truth, I'm going to get right into our first guest, Paul Cottrell. I had Paul on a couple of weeks ago. And a lot of people really sat up and paid attention to what Dr. Cottrell was talking about. Very popular. He's got a very popular YouTube channel. There it is on screen, folks, as you can see. Do me a favor. Subscribe to his channel. Follow what he says. As well, while you're subscribing, also subscribe to HagmanReportLive.com, the Hagman Report on YouTube as well. The information that he provided initially, in retrospect, in 2020 hindsight, turned out to be accurate. So without any further explanation or further introduction, I want to get right to Dr. Cottrell, because he's being very gracious with his time. He's a busy guy. Paul, welcome back, sir.
Hi, Doug. How you doing? Dude. Thank you for having me.
Well, thanks for your patience. We had some technical issues bringing you on. I appreciate your patience with that. Let's just get right into what's going on here. You know, we've got COVID-19, the virus versus, the impact from what we're seeing as this virus and a mass surveillance state, which I believe poses a greater threat. So let's get right into it. Since your last appearance, a lot's going on, and you turned out to be 100% accurate. What have you found out here, or what's different since the last time you were on?
Well, one important part to add to what we found lately is that there's actually two strains. One strain is actually called the ATG13. We believe it actually came off of the Wuhan strain. So we have actually two main genomes to look at. So, and the virulence are probably different. When I looked at the HIV homology between the Wuhan strand, we had a strong HIV homology. On the RATG13 strain, we have a little bit of a breakdown of the HIV homology. And that's why we think that the Wuhan strand came first, and then the RATG13 came from that. That breakdown in the homology is actually at the GAG insertion point for the S protein. Now, so that's the news for how this virus has been mutating or evolving.
All right.
Now, I'm concerned. I'm concerned about the United States at this moment. You know, we already have 1,200 cases. So I personally believe that there is psychological thresholds in terms of confirm COVID-19 cases. The first psychological threshold is 100. Then the next psychological threshold is 1,000. We've already passed that. So we're starting to see the panic buying. The real pandemonium will hit once we hit 10,000. And we're not that far away from the 10,000 confirmed cases. And there is still a lot of almost apathy out there. They don't realize that this virus is bioengineered, and it's much more virulent than the common flu. People need to take precautions.
I didn't mean to overtalk you, but when I look at message boards, specifically the conservative, politically conservative, they're saying, this is, look at the deaths. I mean, more people have died from falling in the bathtub than this virus. Speak to that if you don't mind.
Well, I mean, falling in the bathtub is just pure happenstance. This virus is bioengineered.
Okay.
And it was designed to kill.
Okay, that's
That's the point that I'm trying to make is that yes, there's lots of things that could kill you, like going in a car and getting in a car accident, right, or just, you know, normal, heart disease or whatever. But this virus was bioengineered to understand how it stays in the bat host. And it was leaked out of a very, very virulent laboratory, what we call a level 4 laboratory. So This is not zoonotic. This is not your normal garden variety virus. This is something that is highly dangerous. Now, I want to give you a little bit of a perspective on the modeling that I'm doing with this.
Okay.
We believe, all right, that half of the country over a 20-month period is going to get COVID-19, all right? This is not a two-month thing. This is going to come around. There's probably going to be a secondary and a tertiary wave. We do not know if it's going to be attenuated or if it's going to get worse with each wave. We don't know, and we will not know until we go through that exercise, right? But if the assumption is that the secondary and the tertiary waves are as bad as the first wave, then I believe that roughly 165 million people in the United States, I know this is a big number, and no one is probably publishing this what other than on your show right now, but I believe 165 million people will be infected by COVID-19 in 20 months. All right? And I believe that the numbers on the Johns Hopkins database are deflated on purpose to prevent panic and to prevent economic collapse. Now, that assumption, again, is that the secondary and tertiary waves are just as bad or worse than the first wave. Second assumption is that the health constituency in our country is poor, either because of health or because we have an aging population. You know, we have a lot of diabetes. We have a lot of heart disease. We have a lot of other underlying medical issues. These add complications if you get COVID-19. So that's part of the calculus of this. So 1/6 of 165 million people will have severe symptoms. 5/6 will be mild. So the far majority of the country will only get mild cases. But the ones they do get severe cases, 25% of them will die because of complications to other underlying diseases. So what that means, when you do all the numbers, it's about 6.8 million to 6.9 million people will die from complications to COVID-19 in the United States.
So just so I'm clear on this, 150 million in the population over the next 20 months infected, 1/6 of that.
Well, I was using 330 as the 330 million as the population. But either way, you use 300, yeah.
All right. So 100, help me with the math, 165.
165 okay. Roughly.
So 1/6 of that.
165 million.
Okay. So again, 1/6 of that, the aging, the impaired, the immune impaired and such. Right?
Right.
Right. The complications on 25% of that 1/6 is going to suffer the ultimate consequence of death, projected, perhaps.
1/6 of the confirmed COVID-19 cases will have severe complications.
Right.
25% of those
right.
will die from COVID-19 complications.
Okay. And this, people have a tendency to think that this is going to pass by summer. And you're saying, no.
The assumption that we're using is it has the same epidemiological dynamics as the Spanish flu of 1918, where it lasted for 18 months. I'm thinking this could last 18 months to 20 months.
All right. And you were,
and it had, you know, it had multiple waves.
Yeah. Yes, it did. And people need to, I think people need to go back to that time and take a look at the documentaries. Some of them, now some of them, understate really what happened back then, but to see that it lasted, 40 months about officially, you know, back in 1918 through 21. So people need to really understand how bad this could very well be. And folks, Paul Cottrell has been doing a lot of work I want to get this in sooner rather than later. How can people support your work, please? Because we need you out there to be sounding the alarm bell. So where do people go to support
your
work?
I've been a very busy guy. But to support, you can join the Patreon account. They can, you know, just on my YouTube videos in the description box, you can click on the Patreon account. Okay. I'm actually surprised the lack of subscribers on Patreon. They can donate on my website. There is several donations that I receive, very generous donations, especially to, you know, cover international calls and stuff like that. Because I work with researchers in Europe. Yep. We have come out with a list of things that people can buy from their natural food store that are antiviral, antimicrobial, cytokine, calming type nutraceuticals and homeopathic remedies, just in case their doctor or healthcare system starts to break down. Because this is an important thing here. If you're sick, you should see your doctor, because they have strong medication if they use it. Some of them are not using it. I don't know. But the people that I do know in Maryland that are doctors, they have cases that they're treating with chloroquinine, which is antiviral. It has a lot of side effects. We have an abundance of it. But I believe the better molecule is the Remdesivir, but that's still in clinical trials, and we do not have enough of that, even if it passes clinical trials. So we're in for a bumpy road here in terms of what we can use. But there are some protease inhibitors that doctors can prescribe that are very strong, that I highly recommend. But if your medical system starts to break down, you need to start thinking about how grandma, you know, started treating some of your ailments when you were young, and because that may be the only thing you have. And so we made a whole list on how, you know, what to get: the rosemary, the forskalowin, the relora, the calendula, birch bark. Right. Licorice root, these sorts of things, you know, people that have been in the homeopathic realm for a while understand that these are antiviral.
Yeah, you've done a very good job, by the way, in preparing people in that respect. And that's why I would urge everyone listening to support Dr. Paul Cottrell, his work. There it is on Patreon. Folks, you know, look, he's generous with his time. He does his own research. He's researching with others across the world and bringing you this information. All right. And the link will be in the Hagman Report live program description box. If you want the truth as opposed to, you know, having somebody pee on your leg and telling you it's raining, of course, this guy, I believe, has the truth. All right. So I didn't mean to kind of derail you. So, all right. So we left off with, long-term ramifications of this 5-6 mild case, 1-6, not so much, and 25% of that really, could possibly perish. Those numbers are pretty significant. Continue, please, with your findings.
Well, I'm concerned about, again, this BioPatriot Act that I talked to you about. We're starting to see the emergencies at the state level, and now we're going to see it at the national level when Trump announces a nationwide state of an emergency. Now, that kicks in motion some federal aid to the states. So there's a legal reason why they need to announce the emergency. But there's also legal powers that it launches. And I am very concerned about our civil liberties and the erosion of our rights since 9/11, specifically due to the Patriot Act and this never-ending surveillance state that we see growing, and, you know, the high potentiality of social scoring in the United States. It's already instituted in China. And I believe what will happen is that because the economy is torn down, that it will force Congress to start legislating policies and give more powers that will decash. It was called decashing. We'll no longer have coins, and we will no longer have bills. And we'll have a digital currency that's issued by the Federal Reserve They may make other digital currencies illegal. Not sure, but that's a potentiality.
Okay.
But it will be issued by the Federal Reserve, and it will be under the auspice that, well, this is going to prevent contagion because of a pathogen. Now, the average public may see that as, oh, that makes sense. But the reality of it is that the banks are unstable, and they want a decash system so you can't take the money out of the bank. They can float it, a two-day float. If you pull the money out, they can't float it. If you ask the money at the teller, they're supposed to give it to you, right, immediately. They can't float 2 or 3 days.
Right.
You're not going to stand in line for 2 or 3 days, right? IMF has been looking at this since 2015 about decashing the world. So this opens up the opportunity for a decashed world, which is one element of what I would call the BioPatriot Act. So we have this potentiality of decashing, and we also have the potentiality of forced vaccinations once they have the vaccine, which is a messenger RNA platform vaccine that hasn't been long-term tested, and they may force vaccinations just to get a job or to go to school. Like, for example, I've been accepted to medical school, so I had to go through a whole health check, and I had to go through vaccinations. They test my blood, and if my antibodies are too low for certain vaccines, I have to get another vaccine. So just to go to medical school, I was force-vaxxed, all right? And I'm not pro-vax or anti-vax. I'm in the middle. I want safe vaccines, all right? I don't believe that vaccines out there are safe, and I think that we're over-vaxxing our children and causing unique problems and where they have autism and different sure. different diseases. But this may launch into a forced vaccine program that if you don't have these vaccines, you're not going to get a job. You'll have a low social score. So I'm very concerned about this rollout of a BioPatriot Act, and Congress is going to look at this as an opportunity to bring that in. And these agencies have some elements of power already. HHS and CDC has the power to basically detain you and confiscate your property under a situation that we have like today, where it's a pathogenic. If someone had TB, they basically lose their rights, and you get infirmed. So now look at that across the country.
Right.
We're talking about big numbers here. That could fall ill to this.
So what you're saying, if I'm reading this right, or if I'm hearing you correctly, I'm looking at an article by John Whitehead. It was published about a week ago, saying, look at what China is doing, and it doesn't matter what the nature of the crisis might be, whether it's civil unrest, national emergencies, unforeseen economic collapse, loss of functioning political and legal order, whatever it might be. There are problems here as they create a system of surveillance and a system whereby people cannot, for example, like you can't go to medical school without vaccinations. You're not going to be able to travel. You're not going to be able to use money, cash, have a job even. So there's a lot of potential issues here. And social media credit scores assigned to Chinese, we're seeing that in China and kind of coming in here. The real ID system, real name system. All of this. But what concerns me the most, and I think you're dead on, is this economic impact. How we've seen what the markets have done over the last, 3-4 days, just this week alone.
Just to add to this, Doug, and this is where I really bring something to the table, not just at the scientific level with what I'm doing at Harvard, but my PhD was in finance, and it dealt with chaos theory and specifically dealt with the data set pre-Lehman, during Lehman, and post-Lehman, okay, a 10-year data set on how to dynamically hedge. And I studied a lot about the Lehman crisis and what happened to markets. And people that are listening have to listen very carefully, all right? the stock market is going to go down 40% or more from the high. That means the S&P 500, which was at about 3,300 for the high, will go down to about 1,800, 1,700. All right. If you trade it as an ETF, that means you're going to see the SPY go to 180 to 170. It's trading right now at 250. I recommend everyone that has stock to dump it because you're going to lose. And the reason why is that if you look at the VIX, the VIX index,
right,
it is at elevated levels that is the same as Lehman.
That's a volatility.
And if you look at the last 20 years, yes, if you look at the volatility index, the last time we saw elevated levels like we have is Lehman. It wasn't 9/11. It wasn't the tech bubble. It wasn't when we invaded Iraq 1 or 2 or Afghanistan or Iran issues. The last time we have seen this is Lehman, this level of elevation. Lehman was in the 80s.
Right.
All right. And we're at the 70s right now. And it normally, you know, a heightened alert in the stock market, you know, normally is around 25 or 30. And then it comes down really quick. It's called heterocytastic. But it's elevated. That means that the banking system is highly, highly leveraged and highly fragile.
So we're going to experience a theft of really of our wealth on a grand scale because of this. I mean, that's kind of what you're saying, if I'm hearing you correctly.
Yeah. I mean, there's two ways to look at it. There's some people that have money for savings, in the stock market, and the stock market is going to sell off and you're going to lose your money on that. When they switch to a new type of currency, this decashing, it's a resetting of the financial system and you're going to be hurt that way too. Something similar happened during Roosevelt.
That's right.
Where they did a reset. And they took people's gold.
Yep. Yep.
Right? So this is something similar, but it's your dollar bills that you could hide under your mattress you can no longer have now. Right? It's
right.
Something similar. It's different, but it's something similar. Right? So the banking system is stealing from you in a sense. But another way to look at it is this. The 0.1% or the 0.01% of the population, the uber wealthy, that have most of the wealth or half, you know, more than half of the wealth.
Right.
They mostly have it in the financial markets. They earned it through the financial markets. All right. If the market collapses and there's a reset, it's very possible that the Bill Gateses, the George Soroses, the Warren Buffets lose their money. And in a strange way, I think that's what needs to be done. These uber wealthy types need to lose everything because they are part of the problem.
I agree, just not at the expense of we the people.
There's the rub.
Right.
There's the rub. And here's the I am concerned. I'm a Trump supporter and I will be a Trump supporter. All right. I'm going to vote for Trump. All right. But I'm very concerned how this situation will turn out at the ballot box in November. I believe this, that if there is such a carnage that happens in the United States, as I'm predicting, all right, in the financial markets and on the health of the United States citizenry, there is a big chance that Trump will not be reelected. And there lies a whole new set of problems where it'll erode our civil liberties.
Of course.
So Trump's advisors really need to be on the ball and manage this and be transparent and don't focus so much on the financial side of this. Focus more on containment. You know, I'm for Trump, but I really do believe that he was a little too short, too late. In terms of containment, all travel to the United States, when we were talking last that we talked,
yep,
should have been shut down.
And that was on the 17th of February,
not this,
by the way, folks.
Cherry picking.
Right.
Yeah. Not this cherry picking. So, and it's crazy in my mind. He said yesterday, well, we're going to shut flights from Europe, but we'll still have them from the UK. Well, that doesn't make any sense. You know, you should shut everything from that area. I mean, the UK has cases too.
Sure they do.
Yeah. I think there's been too much of attention on the damage it could cause in the economy. And I can understand why, because people will vote based on their wallet. And so they were trying to downplay and prevent the economic shock of their policies, so it wouldn't hurt him in the election box. But by them doing that, it actually made the problem worse.
Okay.
And now we have more cases, and it's going to spread faster.
So I know you don't have a crystal ball, but how do you see this playing out from here? How do you see this playing out over the next – well, between now and the election? How do you see this playing out in the worst-case scenario or best case or just whatever you have worked out?
All right. I'm gonna do the worst-case scenario, and hopefully it gets better. All right?
All right.
The worst-case scenario is you're going to probably see 1 million people that are going to be critically ill or die before November.
Right.
Maybe two million. All right. And the economy is going to be in free fall, and we're going to have a recession. May not be the typical defined recession where you have two quarters of negative GDP, but in terms of the stock market, it's going to be below 40% from the high. Okay.
All right.
So that's, again, the SPY will be at about, the SPY is going to be at about 180, 170. And people are going to get freaked out, and they're going to start seeing layoffs. And if that happens, I think Trump has a 50% chance of winning the election.
Only a 50% chance, you mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. I spoke to someone who knew you were coming on, and they wanted me to ask you this one question. Why is President Trump, having been exposed to multiple people with this COVID-19 virus, why has he been so cavalier publicly and not worried about his own health? That this comes from a couple of people, but one in particular.
Well, he's known to be a germaphobe, so it is strange.
Right.
It could be that maybe he feels that he's, not vulnerable to it, that he has a little like secret bubble around him that he won't get sick. It may be a leadership trait. Leaders, step up to the plate and they're not afraid. That could be it.
Okay.
I think that's probably the reason that it's a leadership trait, and that leaders just do and don't worry about their own health, their own their own personal situation.
All right. Yeah, it was an interesting question when I read it, and I just wanted to ask you about it.
Well, some people think maybe there's an antidote, and that certain people only have the antidote. I don't believe that there's an antidote.
Okay. So in to wrap this up, and I apologize for the abbreviated time, two strains of this of the virus, ATG13, you named it as one, correct? ATG13, mm-hmm. And then the COVID-19, which was the initial virus. Am I using that correctly?
Well, here COVID-19 is two main strains, the
okay.
Wuhan strain and the RATG13. We only have a sequence of one RATG13 in the NIH database when I looked a few days ago. The Wuhan strands, there's over 30 now. So it's important to understand that there are stochastic mutations that take place that are minor, very minor. But this evolutionary mutation for RATG13 is a major mutation.
Okay.
That came from Wuhan.
Okay, very good, folks. Paul, I'm going to direct people to your YouTube channel, and direct people to support you. I want to thank you. I apologize for the time issues, the abbreviated time that we had together. But I want to say thank you for everything you've done from the 17th of February when you first came on to today. You've been right. You've been correct, sadly. And I urge people to support Paul, his work, his research. He works hard. I want to say thank you so much for your time and coming on and giving us this update. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Doug.
All right.
Appreciate it.
That was about Dr. Paul Cottrell. Folks, we're up against the top of the hour break, network break. We'll be right back. Stay right where you're at. Hey, welcome to Hagmann. It's the Hagmann Report, the Friday edition, actually. Friday the 13th. Am I stuttering more than usual? You betcha. Why? Because it's Friday the 13th. And, no, we actually are being hit by a lot of interference with respect to our electronics today. Thank you, Eric the Tech, for really pushing forward, pushing through. The only reason we're on is because of his, duct tape MacGyvering of the, studio. So I appreciate that. A lot of information to get into. You know, Dr. Paul Cottrell had him on for an update. He was last on February 17th. And he had laid out in that broadcast, and if you haven't seen that broadcast, go back and watch it and listen to it. He laid out on that day pretty much what we're seeing today. And he had laid out that, yes, you know, this, of course, is a manufactured virus. This is not from a bat. Of course, we know all of this. This is going back, you know, rehashing what we already know. But one thing he told me off air, and this is, and I'm sure I can share this without any problem, but it's both of our amazement of how people are not, they're not really understanding the peril, the potential peril, whether it's from the actual virus itself or whether it is the consequences, the impact, the financial impact, and the ability of the government to impose mass, even more mass surveillance, which is really the greater threat. An excellent article that was published, I think, a week ago, maybe longer, 10 days ago perhaps, by John Whitehead at the Rutherford Institute, talks about the mass surveillance state, which poses a greater threat, the virus or the mass surveillance state. And the replication of the things that are taking place in China being implemented here in the United States. There was a quote from Philip Dick that opened the writing of John Whitehead. If, as it seems, we are in the process of becoming a totalitarian society in which the state apparatus is all powerful, the ethics most important for the survival of the true free human individual would be, ready for this, cheat, lie, evade, fake it, be elsewhere, forge documents, build improved electronic gadgets in your garage that allow with the gadgets used by the authorities. Very interesting opening comment or commentary to that article. And the article is titled COVID-19 versus a mass surveillance state, which poses a greater threat. And I think that's the issue. Without understating or underplaying the threats from either the consequences or the actual event itself. And Dr. Cottrell, first half hour, talked about the what he expects to see, and that would be about 150 million infections, 5/6 of those on the mild side, okay, but 1/6 with those, or those with the compromised immune systems, with other medical underlying complications, you're looking at a more serious outcome to that. So that's very interesting.
I have a update.
Okay.
This is Sam's Club right now in our town, the toilet paper aisle.
Need we say more? Look at that. For those listening, by way of audio, nary a square to be found. Can't spare a square. For those Seinfeld, for those Seinfeld fans. Can't spare a square. Not a square despair. Look at that. In real time, Sam's Club, but right now, and thanks to the viewers and listeners of this program to send that. However, on the upside, any takers? I'm holding a Hillary Clinton roll of toilet paper. I'll sell this for, I don't know. What do you think, Eric?
$1,000.
$1,000. You know what? Let's make it $999. Let's not be greedy. $999. Any takers?
You'll sign it too.
Sure, I'll sign. Yeah, I'll sign it for $999. Oh, already sold. Sorry, sold. All right. Folks, if you haven't done so already, visit HagmanStore.com. HagmanStore.com, even in even in times of peril, life is too short for a bad cup of coffee. Try Hagman Coffee. It does support organizations that help fight boots on the ground against child trafficking, Russ Dizdar and Craig Sawyer. That's HagmanStore.com. Try our coffee. And, of course, just a wonderful T-shirt or a wonderful shirt that Eric designed as well. Look at that. Hagman Report, Don't Tread on Me. It's a tri-blend shirt. It really is good. It repels fever. Can I make that claim? Oh no, I'm going to be, you know what, folks? And this is the sad part about this. And I'm serious when I say this. What I just said right there, I guarantee you, I am going to see that in a legal proceeding. I guarantee you that's how bad things are out there. And no, I'm not talking about a troll comment or a errant comment on the message board. No. Oh, he made a medical claim. He can't do that. See? Fake news. We got to shut them down. You think I'm kidding, right? I'm not. I wish I was. I'm not. All right, folks. Here to weigh in on the current situation, the current events, none other than Ted Brower of healthmasters.com fame. HR5 is a coupon code, healthmasters.com. The only nutraceuticals that I will use. That's healthmasters.com. That's the only place I will go to purchase my nutritional supplements. Ultimate Multiple, HR5, coupon code. Look, if everyone is concerned, if you are as concerned about this particular virus, get the Hagman Brower Hagman Immune Support Kit right above that. This is by now, right? But of course, the Ultimate Multiple. There it is. Both of them in the same frame.
That new formula is on sale that Austin was talking about.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So HR5 might not apply there if it's on sale, but nonetheless, it's good stuff. And while you're there, you can also tune into their show heard Monday through Friday and Sundays, but Monday through Friday from 10 to 11 in the morning. There it is on the upper right there in dark blue. You can see it. All right, with that, Ted Brower, how are you, sir? You there?
Doug, I am here, Doug, and I'm here to tell you, can you hear me okay?
Huh?
Can you hear me, Doug?
Huh?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, it's so frustrating to me because, you know, I've been telling everybody for years on my show and on your show where the natural progression of all of this stuff's going to go. And well, here we are. Now we're here. We're right on the cusp of medical martial law. And yet, like you said just a few moments ago, the American people remain oblivious. And, you know, I have to give the globalists, the Sabbatean, Kabbalist, Luciferian, Druidic cult sect of the Canaanite ancient religions that run the planet, credit. They have given people so much fluoride over the past 70 years, we've lost discernment. They've got so many people on statin drugs, we've lost discernment. And very few people actually still have any ability to obtain concrete rational thought. I mean, everybody still has a Pollyanna approach that everything's happy, happy, happy. And it's not really happy, happy, happy right now. And the Christian right, the Christian conservatives are so convinced that we're about to be raptured. I mean, this is what I'm hearing from my emails, that we're going to be raptured before the coronavirus shall hit us, that it'll be basically, we'll be gone here within moments and we'll be raptured. And so there is no reason to buy toilet paper. There's no reason to buy any food. There's no reason to be concerned. There's no reason to try to do anything besides just sit up in the heavenly grandstands and applaud while the book of Revelation breaks its seals and we are at a pre-trib rapture and we're all gone. I don't even know what to say about my colleagues, conservative Christians.
That's the danger of a pre-trib rapture doctrine. It's not a salvation issue, but the danger is relying on that and not preparing. So thank you for that.
Well, it goes further back. It goes back to the Scofield Reference Bible. It goes back to Samuel Untermeyer, who pushed Scofield among the New York elite, who pushed him to the Oxford Press, who had his Bible printed and sent to thousands of Christian universities and institutions around the world, to push this doctrine of that don't worry about it, just chill out and relax because nothing's going to happen to you, to the American population. And so now they're all convinced they're going to chill out and relax and nothing's going to happen to them. And yet we have a virus that the people in Ohio are saying now that they have already got 100,000 people infected as far as their projections. We've got a virus that with the elderly population out of a study that was just released out of China a few weeks ago, and now is also in the British Medical Journal Lancet, which says it's a 28% death rate among the elderly. We've got a virus that's absolutely horrific. And yet the Donald comes on national TV a few nights ago and says, you know, after he'd been telling us all for weeks now, there's no big deal. It's like a common cold, like a simple flu thing. Don't worry about it. All of a sudden, he declares basically that the Europeans can no longer come to America and creates mass hysteria in the markets and around the world. I mean, but, you know, not once did I ever hear him talk about calling on the name of Jesus. In fact, I've never heard him use the name Jesus once. In fact, I've never heard any sitting president use the name of Jesus. In fact, I pretty much feel that every sitting president since John F. Kennedy has been compromised in one way or another by the elite that run the international banking cartels and the secret societies and the intelligence services. And we've talked about that in depth on our show and on your show many, many times. So I'm not going to digress and go there. But what we have here is basically a cover up. And this coronavirus is really very, very real. I'm not saying it's not real. It's just as real as 9/11 of those towers coming down.
Right.
But we have a cover-up that's being used now to implement medical martial law, which I believe is on the footsteps of where we are right now. Massed forced vaccinations, which I hope I'm not right on. I mean, Israel's come out and says now they already have a vaccine in the final process of development. And all of this stuff happening right now to aid the New World Order, the boys and girls who took down Building 7, this Druidic high priest class that runs the world since the ancient Canaanite religions. I mean, I can't be any more specific than that because they operate under cloak of secrecy. I can start naming names, but it won't do any good because the names change as generations move on. So it's a group of people that the Bible says that our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against these principalities, these things, these places that we cannot see. And this is what we're against. And now we see ourselves there. And, you know, and here's the problem that I have. There's an article, there's a letter that Leonard Horowitz wrote, and he's one of the top people on the AIDS discussion. This guy's brilliant, Harvard graduate. And he wrote this letter to the Honorable Chad Wolf, the Department of Homeland Security, acting secretary. And he starts talking about the coronavirus, and this guy wrote an entire book on AIDS. I've quoted him many times, brilliant man, also a Christian. He goes, quote, "The laboratory creation of this 219 coronavirus, to which the AIDS HIV envelope gene is attached, as well as the middle fragment encoding a SARS, severe acute respiratory syndrome spike protein, both appearing to have been inserted into this coronavirus bioweapon, media censorship of accurate intelligence addressing the public's reasonable concerns, erroneous and terrorizing information being broadcast instead of helpful preventative strategies beyond hand washing and the use of face masks, the geopolitical and economic correlates and antecedents of the Wuhan outbreak." I'm not going to read you the rest of the letter. I've got it posted on the healthmasterswebsite.com news site. You can read it. And Horowitz is basically saying this is a bioweapon, just like Dr. Francis Boyle, the writer of the Bioweapons Treaty Act of 1989, said it was a bioweapon. It's interesting. I spoke to a medical doctor last week while I was getting an intravenous vitamin C drip, and I told her what this was. I quoted all of these notoriety people, including the guy who wrote the bioweapons treaty, and she says, "I have to have proof." And I'm like, I'm giving you the proof. Now she gives me a headache thinking about what she did today right now. I've got to be careful. I end with a headache. And she was just completely ignorant. Now she bought the practice from another doctor who was wide awake, who died suddenly at the age of 53, but I'm not going to digress and talk about that today. And he was an alternative practitioner who died very young. But we've done shows on that with you too, Doug. Alternative practitioners who die young.
Yep.
And what was interesting about this, she's a Muslim. And she's basically told everybody that nobody can come into her office carrying a concealed weapon with a
Ted, you froze up there. I don't know if you can hear me right now.
Weapons permit and-
there we go. You froze up just for a second, for a couple of seconds, so.
I'm sure they don't like what I'm talking about.
Okay, so hang on a second. You left off what I last heard was concealed weapon, something about a concealed weapon.
Well, she's told the people coming to her office that we're not allowed to carry concealed weapons in her office. And she's Muslim. And I told her one day, I said, you're a Muslim. She goes, well, I know that. I said, well, what if somebody wants to come in here and kill you? And I said, I'm in here with you. And I said, I can protect you and I can protect the people in your office staff, but I can't if I can't carry my gun. And her response was, well, I don't like guns and they're not allowed in my office. I'm like, okay. She's the same lady who's telling me she needs proof now to prove that this thing's a bioweapon. I just gave her the proof like I just gave you guys the proof as far as I'm concerned. This is proof coming from multiple sources. And yet she doesn't want to hear it. And then I told her, I said, I looked at her and I laughed the other day. She's walking out of the room that we were having the IV in. And I said to her, and she goes, well, it's like the Muslims, my faith. She says it's in the office. She goes, you know, they can't get along with each other and they kill each other and they have all the oil they ever would need to be super wealthy, but they keep killing each other and the Shiites kill the Sunnis, et cetera. And I looked at her, you know, I said, I need to see proof on that. That's what I said. I said, I need to see proof on that. And she goes, what do you mean? I said, no, I need proof. You make a statement here, but I need to see proof. And she goes, she kind of just knew what I was doing because I was basically –
well, you were mocking her,
using what
righteously
she had said.
Mocking her in a sense. You know, I mean, I would say the same thing. I just would watch the next time she sticks an IV in your arm. But okay.
Well, I don't let her do the IV. But here's what I'm going to say something to you guys, and this is something that I need to just be careful with what I say now. You know, Daily Mail says America shuts down as Congress is warned 150 million will be infected with coronavirus. High roads and airports are deserted. D.C. is a ghost town and millions of people mob grocery stores to get supplies. Congress attending physician Dr. Brian Monahan has predicted between 70 and 150 million in the United States will be infected with the coronavirus. The figures were highlighted by Congresswoman Rashadi Tlaib, whatever her name is, Tuesday to Thursday. It would see 46% of the population infected with the virus at the upper end of the projection. As of Thursday, there were more than 1,700 cases and 41 deaths in the United States. Guys, it's not 1,700 cases, it's hundreds of thousands. I'm just going to tell you that up front. My opinion, the health official estimates Ohio alone has 100,000 undiagnosed cases. Dramatically increasing outbreak has caused a state of emergency called in New York City, where shoppers were scrambling for supplies on Tuesday and Thursday evening after Donald Trump's speech, which, by the way, not only did it not mention the name of Jesus at all, it did not basically say anything about what you could do as an adult consumer or child or anybody else from a nutritional standpoint. 80% your immune system, eating sugar shuts your immune system down by like 80% within minutes after you eat the sugar. Stop eating sugar, number one. Number two, take D3, which activates the macrophages. I've done a whole show with you on that, which allows the macrophages to see a virus and kill it. This is part of our immune system. Take vitamin C, which maintains the ability of the immune system to fight diseases and infection. Take potassium iodide, because potassium iodide does a great job as far as killing viruses. Take astragalus if you start getting a sore throat immediately. And take black seed oil upon a sore throat immediately. This is together in the Brewer-Hagman immune kit. Now, I'm not making any claims on curing anything as far as coronavirus. Not making those claims. We already seen a TV evangelist this week now under indictment in Missouri because he put somebody on saying that colloidal silver could cure coronavirus, which it does not. It's never been proven in vivo to do that in the body. Hasn't been proven. Now, if you put a virus together, you immerse it in colloidal silver, it will kill it. It'll suffocate it. But that doesn't mean it's going to do it inside of the human body. Our body's immune system has to have the nutrients that it needs to operate efficiently and effectively with the immune system. Now, here's the problem that I have with all of this. Now, listen to me for a second. White House coronavirus expert Dr. Anthony Fauci says complete U.S. shutdown is on the table and warns the crisis could last 2 months. Now, he's saying that we could have the entire country shut down for 2 months. Now, guys, when I hear complete U.S. shutdown, I hear shutdown of the U.S. Postal Service. I hear shutdown of UPS. I hear shutdown of all other carriers. That's what I hear. Now, maybe that's not what he means, but that's not what he's saying. He's saying complete shutdown, complete U.S. shutdown. Now, here's the problem. I'm going to be real direct and frank with everybody listening right now. If you're sitting on the fence right now because you're waiting to get raptured, okay, whatever you want to do, I'm not going to argue with you. We're not going to belabor that. And you say, well, nothing's going to happen to me because I'm going to get raptured. Okay, whatever you want to believe. But my Bible says that, you know, faith without action is meaningless. It tells us that in the book of Timothy. And it says that, you know, show me your faith and I'll show you my action with my faith. He says, faith without action is meaningless. My grandmother, and I've quoted her many times, has a plaque. In fact, I need to pull it up. I've got it laying around here somewhere. That says, Zwei Leben stützen brechen nie gebet und Arbeit heißen sie. It's in German. And it means there's two principal foundations of life that can never be broken. That the first one is prayer and the second one is work. Guys, okay. Believe God for your deliverance. I'm going to read you some scriptures in just a minute. Scriptures of hope. But also realize that there's certain things you need to do. There's action you need to take. If you got somebody coughing up a lung behind you sitting in church, you might want to move. How about you just don't go to church for a few weeks just this thing blows over? How about that? How about you don't put your kids in the nursery right now? How about that? How about we just avoid crowds? I mean, Disney World shut down this week. Now they're shutting down on Sunday. And the globalists, basically who control the media, are also the primary stockholders in Disney, and they're willing to shut down operations that are making hundreds of millions of dollars because they don't want, I guess, their name to be tainted as having a coronavirus outbreak at Disney. I don't know. I personally don't think it'll reopen in 2 weeks. I think it's going to be closed for a couple months. So if the Postal Service shuts down and UPS shuts down, even if I wanted to send you some vitamins, I can't. You can't get them to you. You're going to be on your own. So if you've been waiting on the fence, waiting for the rapture, you're not raptured yet, which obviously we aren't yet, you might want to order some supplements. Now, if you don't want to get them from Health Masters and use the HR5 coupon, at this point, I don't care anymore. Order them anywhere. Go to your local drugstore. It doesn't make a difference. Make sure they're high-quality products. Make sure that the D3 is lanolin-based. Make sure that the astragalus is a super high-purity product. Make sure the vitamin C is a good ascorbate powder with basically you can put different antioxidants in it. Make sure they're real high-quality things. Or you can go ahead and go to healthmasters.com, and we're still operating. We still have all these products in stock that we've run out a couple times already, and we can ship them to you. But if you don't want to get them from us, just get them somewhere. It doesn't matter at this point.
Just to be clear, though, if people are listening and they're wondering, okay, so the Brower Hagman Healthy Immune Support Kit, just to be clear, you take that. Now, that – there's really nothing else you need to, no claims. I'm not making claims, but really there's no other nutritional supplement that you would need outside of that for this coronavirus. Is that an accurate statement?
I would say I'd still take the powdered multiples right below there.
Right.
And I would still basically take B complex and also take some 5-HTP. There's a bunch of things. You get the basic healthy lifestyle program if you want. It's on there too. But to keep that immune system strong, you need these basics. And if you really don't want to get all of those, just get the potassium iodide. You can order it individually. The C and the D3K2. Just get those three. I mean, this is one of those things that we're past the point of being concerned whether you want to support the Ted and Austin Brower show
right.
or the Doug Hagman show
exactly.
or the Dave Hodges show.
Who
we're
cares?
Past that point now, guys. At this point in time, we're just talking about keeping the Patriot community
alive.
Healthy. That's all we're talking about.
Yeah, healthy, indeed.
Alive. Well, yeah.
Okay.
Go ahead.
No, I just want to make sure because I saw in a forum, a health forum, there were 32 pages of entries of, well, these are the nutraceuticals or these are the various, items to take, you know, to prevent or to help prevent, I should say, becoming affected from coronavirus. When, in fact, you can just go to healthmasters.com and bang, there it is. First two up there and take them, and you should feel good about that.
Well, I mean, here's another article. This is a letter that came in from Emanine, and she's over in Singapore. And Austin read part of this. I'm going to read part of it again. It says, "Dear Dr. Ted and Austin, I've been listening to your broadcast for a couple of years now, and I've ordered products from you. I'm so grateful to God and your family for sharing your truth and nothing but the truth. I was discharged from the hospital yesterday after contracting coronavirus. All glory to God, my illnesses were a very mild one, and I was warded on, put in a hospital on February the 14th and out on February the 20th. I had a fever for a short period, and it was cleared within a couple of days. I believe with all my heart it was because I was loading up on vitamins, and that is the reason I recovered so quickly. And guys, I'm not making any kind of claims that anybody who gets coronavirus can be healed by taking these supplements. All I'm saying is this. You might as well keep your immune system as strong as you possibly can in the event that you do have a problem like this. You know, and so that's the thing I'm trying to share with you guys today. Now, listen to me. This is so super important. You know, I don't know why people do what people do. I really don't. I mean, I can only pray to be led by the Holy Spirit. That's all I can do. But guys, the international banking community has had to cover its tracks because of this Ponzi scheme. Every fiat currency that's ever been put into existence within 100 years or so completely goes belly up. It's been 107 years for the system they put together in 1913 through Samuel Untermeyer and Woodrow Wilson. Remember Samuel Untermeyer, same guy I mentioned earlier with the Scofield Bible. It's all tied together through the Kabbalists, which are tied together to the high levels of the Masonic lodges. Until you get to about the 30th degree Masonic Lodge level, you really don't even realize what you're involved in. And at that point, they pull the covers off and they say, by the way, this is your religion now, and you need to forget everything else you've ever learned from this time, from your childhood on. And so a lot of these guys get into the Masonic Lodges as a social club to help their business interests or whatever. But at the highest levels, the Kabbalah is directly tied to the Masonic Lodges through the Zohar. And the Zohar is the fundamental root of all ancient satanic religions tied into one little lump sum with some snake in a tree they call Ein Sof that's supposed to be throughout the universe, this giant tree. I mean, this is what these guys believe. I'm not telling you that I believe any of this, but I think they're all nuts. But this is what they believe. And they're the guys who happen to be running the planet right now and have been since the ancient days of the Canaanite religions. And they're the ones that God looked down from heaven in Genesis chapter 6 and was so disturbed by what he had seen and what these guys had done that he flooded the planet. And they're doing everything they can to bring it back. I've told you guys for years that in Genesis chapter 6, it says that every thought of every man was evil all of the time. Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be upon the returning of the Son of Man. And that tells me every thought of every man evil. They're going to do that through a 5G network. And now some people are saying the 5G is linked back into coronavirus as far as what it does to the cellular system and cellular respiration. And I don't know about that. Some of it's plausible, I guess. The thing about it, I know Wuhan had a big 5G opening. They had this big release. Also, this thing that goes wild in Wuhan. And by the way, my friend who lives over there, the one I told you and read his letter to you guys well over almost 2 months ago now here on the show. I mean, it was back in January, 2 months ago, that I came on and you were kind enough, Doug, to allow me to come on with another guest, John Moore, to give you guys like an emergency update of what was going on with my friend in China. I mean, I've been on this thing since the second week in January, telling everybody what's going on for 2 months now. And all of a sudden, now the mainstream media is going, wow, this is pretty serious. You know, Donald was telling us just a few weeks ago, like I mentioned earlier in the show, that it was kind of a joke and just a regular cold or the flu. No big deal. Now he puts the whole planet into a worldwide panic while never mentioning the name of Jesus. Just thought I'd mention that. Guys, we have to be aware of who's doing this to us, why they're doing it, and what the end game is. The end game is martial law. The end game is a new world order. The end game is a new world, one world religion when they rebuild the third temple and bring the Antichrist out, according to the book of Thessalonians, who declares himself God, who considers himself to be the benign Nephilim, the sons of the fallen. Lucifer considers himself to be the son of Lucifer. The Antichrist, if you want to put it in this term. But the Christians believe that before that happens, they're going to be called up in the rapture. We mentioned that earlier because of the Scofield Bible teaching. And they'll watch from the heavenly grandstands and basically see the world come to an end and, in fact, be ruled by darkness for a long, long time. But they're not going to be involved in it because they're going to be gone. What if you get your dates wrong? I thought I'd mention that. Because there are a lot of people think we're going to have a pre-trib, a mid-trib, or post-trib rapture. Some people think there'll be no rapture at all. But the reality is, there has to be something because it says if those times were not cut short, even the elect would not survive. So there has to be something happening where God's going to intervene. Just use your head. There's nothing wrong with taking some vitamin C, some potassium iodide, and some D3K2. There's nothing wrong with it. You're not going to stock up for the next 10-year supply with food. You know, for a few hundred dollars, you can get this entire kit and help your family to stay healthy with their immune system. There's no downside to this. You should be taking supplements anyhow. So let me finish talking to you about what Anthony Fauci says. Fauci said on Friday that the crisis will last for at least a few more weeks and possibly up to 2 months. He said there's no doubt we've not peaked and it could get much worse. Fauci said that he was not sure if the U.S. would reach full shutdown mode, but it's not off the table. I mentioned that earlier about shutting down the Postal Service. There are more than 1,700 people in the U.S. with coronavirus. 41 have died. This is not true. There's hundreds of thousands, many more dead. Fauci, in my opinion, Fauci promised testing was going to become more available, but did not give any specifics, guys. They tested like 70 people last week. I thought I'd mention that. In California, doctors have been receiving tests, but they're missing crucial components. They have to have certain reactive vials in there. They don't have them. There's been a hurry to approve a privately developed test. It seems to be seen, though, that when anyone in America who wants a test will be able to get a test, we have no idea when that'll happen. Until then, the country is being told to be vigilant about social distancing and stay away from the vulnerable. President Trump, who's come into contact with several dignitaries and politicians with the virus, has refused to be tested. Coronavirus symptoms. Yeah. Well, here we go, guys. It's kind of a dry, hacking cough. It's not a runny nose. So if you got a runny nose, it's probably a cold. And we also need to realize, too, Doug, that, you know, we've got – this is a really good article here from Greg Hunter. I like him, by the way, USA Watchdog, and he's interviewing somebody. He's talking about another way the markets can crash is a full-blown banking crisis that is brewing in Europe. At the center is Deutsche Bank, which the IMF called the most systemically dangerous bank in the world back in 2016. Nenner predicted on USAWatchdog.com that if Deutsche Bank stock crashed through 644 at price target, it could go all the way to zero because it has a negative net worth. Wow. Now, we know that Angela Merkel has just said they're doing everything they can in Germany to prevent the healthcare system of Germany from collapsing. Now, I don't make this stuff up. Now, so Angela Merkel's warning that they're doing everything they can to prevent the healthcare system of Germany to collapse. Remember, we've got the United States, China, Japan, and Germany are the four major industrial leaders in the world. This is not a third world country. This is Germany. And she's saying that the healthcare system's in danger of collapse, they're doing everything they can to prevent that. We see a complete and total systemic collapse of the healthcare system in Italy. I have a friend of mine, his name's Mike Florentino from the Florentino restaurant chains. Brilliant man. Great business guy. Good friend. I mean, I'd do anything for the guy. I talked to him last night. Sent him a text at 11 o'clock last night with two Italian doctors talking in Italian with subcaptions underneath it, to verify if the subcaptions were accurate, because he speaks Italian. He was born in Italy. And he said, are you still up? And I said, yeah, it's calling you now. So I'm talking to him at 11 o'clock till about 11:30 last night. And Dougie said that he has a bunch of his friends in Rome, south of Rome, a little north of Rome. He said it's like an apocalyptic scene. He said everything is closed. They're not even allowed out of their homes. They're having to ration health care. They're having to determine who lives and who dies. Remember what they said in China? While we were still getting truthful information out of China, that they were bringing the sick in the sports stadiums, not in hospitals, in the sports stadiums. They were building hospitals in days. They couldn't even, the hospitals were filled so quickly, they had to bring them to sports stadiums. And they weren't bringing them into sports stadiums to treat them. They ran out of medical supplies. They were bringing them in there to basically allow them to die. And then they brought those additional 40 incinerators into Wuhan. And now we know that they were incinerating bodies hand over fist over there as far as the corpses. And now they're saying suddenly here a few weeks later, oh, everything's fine in China now. So I asked my buddy Mike, who's in China. I talked to him on Skype 2 nights ago. And I said to him, I said, Mike, what color are your skies? And he says, what do you mean? I said, do you see blue? Because, you know, last time I was in China, and I've been there, you couldn't see skies. It was all gray. It was all completely and totally opaque. You couldn't see skies. And he goes, the skies are bright blue. Now, what does that mean? It means the factories aren't working, guys. They're not running. The smokestacks aren't belching poisonous material into the skies like they do with the number one polluter in the world, and why the United States is constantly called down as the number one polluter in the world is a total lie. And China's so bad you can barely breathe over there. He said, skies are blue. So what we have, and what he talked about on your show a few weeks ago, Doug, is the systemic collapse of the banking system, the systemic collapse of the manufacturing sectors. And now we're going to see a systemic collapse of things that are being manufactured with items and goods coming out of China. Now, when this happens, retailers will no longer have products to sell. There'll be massive layoffs. Not to mention, if we have a full systems-wide shutdown of the United States, like they're talking about with Fauci on this article I just read. So it's time, guys, to get your ducks in a row, so to speak. It's time. This weekend, my wife was supposed to drive up to North Carolina. We've got some stuff up there. We want to bring some. We've got a little place up in North Carolina. We want to bring some additional supplies up there. And when I found out Disney World was closed down, I thought, yeah. And then Dave Hodges, I talked to him today. He said that there are people talking to him now about there may be interstate checkpoints set up, which that's very possible in Arizona. Now, I'm not saying they're set up right now. I'm just saying there may be. And so I told Sharon and I told Harrison, my youngest son, I said, you know, we don't really need to send you on a 500-mile trip cross-country right now. Let's just kind of hold off on this. It's just not that important. It's not necessary because we don't know what they're going to do. I mean, this thing is kind of like happening as we watch it. And now the problem I have is why didn't Donald Trump, when he saw what was going on in Wuhan back in November, December, I'm assuming that he had intel for this, start developing test kits in the United States? Why hasn't he been personally tested? I don't know. I mean, why in the world, until just a few weeks ago, this whole thing to him was a joke. It was a Democratic way to try to keep him from being reelected. What the heck, man? Really? Are we going to play politics right now? Like right now, we're bombing the crap out of Iraq again because they're saying that, you know, we had Iranian people do something to our troops and kill some people over there. So we're starting that. We've got 30,000 troops right now in Europe doing a big war game, whatever the heck that's all about. Why don't we bring the 30,000 troops back to the United States so in the event something happens, they'll be here. And they're not going to be shuttling in a bunch of United Nations troops into the United States for martial law. Why don't we just think about that for a second? Why don't we step out a little bit in front of this and realize that we don't want troops from another nation coming into the United States going house to house with hypodermic needles telling us that we have to be vaccinated or we're going to be hopefully speculating here and none of that's going to happen. Guys, what's going on with the government? Well, I can tell you what happened with the government. The government's been compromised. We've talked about this many times on the show. The Rockefeller Rothschild Medical Industrial Complex is set to make billions, if not trillions of dollars on a vaccine that's basically been developed now by Israel. They're saying they have it available. It'll be done just in a few weeks, according to the stuff that I've read and posted on the website. And it just seems strange to me that it got developed so quickly. I could go off on that tirade, but I'm not going to. But the point is this. What in the world are we doing here in the United States as we watch? It is, and you wrote that article. It's so funny. You talked about Rutherford the other day, the Rutherford Institute, and you talked about Whitehead. I pulled this article up here. This is another article he wrote. Yep. And everybody needs to read this article. It's very important. I've got it posted on our website. It's called, "This is a Test. How will the Constitution fare during a nationwide lockdown?" You need to read this. I covered it on my show the other day. I'm not going to read it because it's pretty long, but it talks about, you know, what are we going to do as a nation if they come house to house? I mean, they set us up. Now, remember the Boston bombing a few years ago when they went house to house to house?
Yep.
Yeah. Now here's the other thing. Think about this. You know, we've had Zika and we've had SARS and we've had all these other viruses that have come across, come and gone, come and left, every whatever. Okay. I personally believe what they were doing with all of those is what Edward Bernays taught them to do, and that's test. You know, I was in the MBA program at Florida State. I was a college professor for several years. And one thing we learned, if you do direct mail marketing or any kind of marketing whatsoever, that you have to test what you're testing. In other words, if you write a sales letter, like let's say this was a sales letter, you wrote it and you mailed it out, you wouldn't send out 100,000 copies of the sales letter. You'd send out 1,000 copies to see what kind of response you'd get. And then you could gauge the response based upon what happened when you sent the sales letter out. That's called the beta test in psychology and in marketing. And so they've beta tested us now with all these different things. Zika's coming, SARS coming, this is coming, that's coming, all this stuff. Y2K is coming. All this stuff happens over and over and over again. And every time they're keeping data points, they're doing a chart and they're saying, okay, when we said these words in this combination, the American people went hysterical. We had this massive spike in the internet of people using those words over again. So now we have a data point, an algorithm right here, so we can plot this. Well, let's do it again, but let's use some other words. They test it. They plot another data point. And well, let's have another virus break loose. This time we'll have Zika, which I told you guys was a complete and total fake. Okay, let's have Zika. Let's test it with Zika. Let's start spraying down in Miami. Let's see what the American population is willing to do. So they don't have to do this 50 to 20 times. Now they have the algorithms. They have the beta test done. They know what you're going to do before you do it. They tell you that on Facebook. After 100 likes on Facebook, they know what you're going to like and what you're not going to like. They can send you stuff they know you're going to like and stuff they send you stuff they know you're not going to like. this is all done by Edward Bernays, who, by the way, was a Sabbatean Luciferian Kabbalist, who was also the cousin of Sigmund Freud, who was also a Sabbatean Luciferian Kabbalist. And he learned to manipulate the groupthink and direct the course of the advertising any way he wanted to. They used him with the United States to bring the American people into agreement to go into World War I against Germany, though the largest ethnic group in the United States at that point was German, and they didn't want to go into the United States. They didn't want to have a war, and they did it anyhow because of the marketing that was being used by the advertisers controlled by the same group of people. And so this is the thing that we have right now. We have a bunch of data points and algorithms that have been set up as far as what's going to happen to you, the American population, your family, if this happens. And they know what's going to happen. They know. Now you hear about the red list and the black list and the blue list and the whatever list, A list, B list. They know who we all are. They know me and Austin. They know Doug. They know all of us. And the thing about it is that we've got to realize that, you know, God's here to protect us, and that these guys are doing everything they possibly can and have done everything they possibly can for many, many, many years in order to control groupthink. And this is what they continue to do, Doug. And you know what bothers me more than anything else is the fear about what they believe and what they're planning on doing. And I'm going to read you this real quick because they're trying to stoke fear up, because fear feeds these entities that kind of run the planet. They kind of like you to be scared about everything. So I'm going to give you some hope right now, some encouragement. I wanted to do this. Now listen to these verses from the Bible. Isaiah 41:10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Psalms 34:4-1. I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. 1 John 4:4. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he who is in the world, being Lucifer. Romans 15:13. Now the God of hope fill you with peace, all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. Guys, that's what we have as Christians. We have our hope, and we have our hope in glory. Because guys, if we don't have the ability to stay part of the solution here, then we become part of the problem. If we want to pretend like, you know, none of this stuff is happening, and we're going to do whatever we want to do whenever we want to do it, and whatever happens is okay with us, then we're probably going to have some really negative stuff happen to us. But guys, we've got to realize, when God Almighty sent Jesus Christ for you, he became your covenant head, your covenant partner. And what happened is, as a covenant head, a covenant partner, we're in relationship with God Almighty. It's like a blood covenant. Remember when the old Indians would cut one hand, another one would cut another hand, and put their hands together, they became blood brothers. You saw this with the outlaw Josie Wales with Clint Eastwood. That's what they did. Now, if you watch those movies, they don't really explain to you what that means. When we have a blood covenant through Jesus Christ, through the blood of the Lamb, we become one with God Almighty. He's our covenant head. And when we're one with him and our covenant head, we become part of him. He becomes part of us. And he shares with us a tiny, tiny percentage of whatever you can handle is of his omnipotence. That's why the Bible says, ask whatever you will and it'll be given unto you through prayer, right? Through scalar waves. We've talked about that on the show many times. You know, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us because of that connection we have with God through the Holy Spirit, through the blood of the Lamb. But we also are given spiritual discernment because we're being led by the Holy Spirit. The other day, I had a fellow talk show host. I'm not going to mention any names. And they were in Washington, D.C. And they had a woman there who was basically supposed to be this government insider who was working with the top guy from NSA. And they wanted me to talk to her. Well, Doug, after about 30 seconds talking to this lady, I knew she was crazy as a loon. She was nuts. I mean, she like was certifiably nuts. She'd be put in a little padded cell somewhere. And I didn't say anything to my friend. I just kind of listened to this lady loon on for about 20 minutes. And finally, I said, I got to go. I didn't give her any of my contact information, my telephone number, nothing, emails, nothing. I said, I'm not, this lady's loon. She's nuts. I'm done. Well, about 4 days later, my friend calls me back. She goes, that lady I'll just talk to the other day, you know, I was with her about 4 days. You know what? She's nuts. And I said, yeah, I know. I knew that after 30 seconds. She goes, well, how'd you know that? I said, discernment through the Holy Spirit. See, God gives us the ability to discern things. This is why when I saw what was going on with this coronavirus back in January, I started praying about it. I said, God, I said, this one looks like it's going to be real. And then I talked to my buddy in China, and he told me, like, it was like the apocalyptic Charlton Heston movie, The Omega Man. And he says, it's that bad. And I talked to him this week. I mentioned this earlier. And it hasn't gotten any better over there. He's still seeing blue skies. And they're telling us, oh, everything's back to work. No, it's not. And so what they're wanting us to believe is that they've got a solution for this. But they really don't. This whole thing, and you got to realize – one of the primary ways they want to depopulate the planet is through vaccinations. And I talked about one other thing this week. I'm going to say it again. Oprah Winfrey, this is on my show with Ted Dawson Brewer Show. Oprah Winfrey said years ago, Doug, I don't know if you remember her saying this or not, but she still had her own show. She was talking about racism. And she said that until all the old white men are dead, like 40 up at that point, then there's not going to be any sign that racism's ever going to end in the United States. Okay. And there is some truth to that because a lot of folks were raised in the old South and it was a very racist society. I remember when I was a child seeing some pretty racist stuff go on. Okay. But there's also something else that she didn't bother to mention, that via the Frankfurt School that was brought to us in 1933 to destroy nationalism. When you destroy the old white men, now would be the ages 50 and up, you also destroy nationalism in the United States, which is what the goal of the Frankfurt School was from the very beginning, to basically bring communism and a new world order into the United States and to destroy Christianity. When you do this, when you destroy the old white men and the old black men who were patriots and the old Hispanic men who were patriots who saw the rise and fall of Fidel Castro in Cuba, who got out of Cuba, who saw it all, when you kill all the old guys over the age of 50 and you no longer have nationalism, then you have a group of children that have been programmed for groupthink. They've been programmed with iPhones. They've been programmed with tablets. They've been programmed to believe whatever they see on social media, and their actions are controllable via Snapchat, via Facebook, via all these different apps they have on their phones now. How many followers do you have? I remember I had a girl ask me that one time. How many followers do you have on Snapchat? She was like 20 years old, and I looked at her. I started laughing, and I said, well, I've got millions of YouTube views. And she goes, that doesn't mean anything now. How many followers do you have on Snapchat? And my response was, I don't do Snapchat. And she looked at me kind of funny, like, you're irrelevant. You don't mean anything at this point. And she goes, oh, I thought you had people who listen to you, who follow what you do. And I'm like, well, we do. We have our own talk show. No, it's Snapchat. That's what they want, Doug. They want to have that social media control like they already have in China. Let's give you a social credit score. If you listen to the Doug Hagman Show or Dave Hodges or you follow the Ted and Austin Brewer Show, we're going to give you a minus here. So next time you want to buy a bus ticket, it's going to cost more. Next time you buy train tickets, it's going to cost more. Next time you want to get on an airplane, we're not going to let you. What do you mean? Well, we're also going to set up some checkpoints too, and we're going to have it in your driver's license. When we swipe your ID, your real ID, it'll give us all the talk shows that you listen to. It'll tell us whether you've been immunized or vaccinated or whatever. It'll tell us what you believe. It'll give you a credit rating score of what the trooper needs to think about you when they pull you over. Think it's not real? It's real. That's where this is headed. Say, well, no, that would never be that way. It's so funny. Steve, who works with me at Health Masters, I've known Steve for over 40 years. He and I went to college together at Florida State University, and good friend. And he told me the other day, he goes, you know, Ted, I was reading your books that you wrote over 20 years ago. And he said, you know what's funny about this is? He says, the stuff that you were saying 20 years ago, nobody believed as far as the health information that I was giving out. He goes, now it's mainstream. People everywhere are talking about what you brought into the forefront 20 years ago. And I looked at Steve and I said, that's because I'm led by the Holy Spirit. See, God will show you discernment and give you discernment. So if you're wondering where this whole conversation is going, you've got to learn to discern. That's so important. If you don't learn to discern, you're going to be tossed to and fro by every wind of teaching. You know, remember what Goebbels said? He said it's very easy. I believe he said this during the Nuremberg trials, unless it wasn't Goebbels, maybe one of the other guys, one of the other Nazi guys. And he was talking about how to control groupthink is what he was talking about. And he goes, it's very easy to get someone to do what you want them to do in a society. You just make them anti-patriotic if they don't do it. And you make the other people basically shun them or basically ridicule them. Now, I'm paraphrasing this, in the event that they don't listen to do what you want to do. And everybody's lockstep and does exactly what you want. This is what happened to Germany. The propaganda apparatus became so absolute they could make the German people believe, as Hitler had fled to Argentina, that there were going to be super weapons released as the young children, the 10 and 12-year-old children, were in the doggone trenches in the streets of Berlin having their heads blown off by the Russians because they really believed that Hitler was going to come to their rescue because they've been propagandized so much, Doug, they believed everything they were told. And this is what they wanted to do here in the United States. Now they've done it. They've got people believing anything they want to. Now, the other day, I was at the movie theater. And I went to the movies. I saw a really good movie the other night. It's called Call of the Wild with Jack London. It was a Jack London book, and it was starring Harrison Ford. It's done terrible at the box office because no one went to the movies because basically everybody's scared of coronavirus. Sharon and I went there at 7:30 at night. This is like two nights ago, and it was empty. I mean, we were the only people in the theater, so we disinfected the seats, sat down, and thought, wow, we can leave our cell phones on, and we can talk through the whole show now because nobody cares. Nobody's in here but us. And what was interesting, when I left, there were a couple other people walking out of other theaters, like four people there that night. The whole theater, 12 movie Cineplex. And there were like four people walking outside, and there were two people standing behind the counter. They worked there, and I said to them, one of them's like 21, 22 years old. I said, what do you guys think about the coronavirus? They said, it's nothing. It's no big deal. I said, okay. I said, you don't think it's any big deal? They said, no. I said, what about your job? And they said, what do you mean, what about our job? And I said, there's nobody here. I said, how long is the theater going to stay open? They said, well, we haven't thought about that. And I said, it's a big deal. You know, when I was on your show back a month ago, I said my corona assessment was like a 4 to 6 as far as on a 1 to 10 scale, 10 being bolt your windows closed and tape up the glass and everything else, stay at home and don't leave. And it was 6 till yesterday or till Donald Trump's little speech, Doug. And then when they started closing everything down, I raised it to an 8. Now, here's why I raised coronavirus to an 8 on a 10 scale. It wasn't because the coronavirus itself is that bad. If you take the proper antioxidants, it's not a big deal as far as I'm concerned. That's my opinion. It's what's happening from the fallout all around it and the shutdown of the economy, the shutdown of the world's engine. The engine's a giant, the world's a giant engine of commerce. And when you shut it down, you don't just start it up again. It has to reboot. It has to take a while to get going again. So this could be a year, 2 years until we end up having them say, we can't reboot the system. We need a new world order. We need a new world financial system. We need a new world leader. We need a new world religion. That's where this is headed because they're shutting the whole system down right now. So these guys were sitting there talking to me at the movie theater, and they were acting very laissez-faire about the whole thing. And I looked at them. I said, you know what, guys? You know, neither one of you have reached the age of concrete rational thought yet, which basically happens at about the age of 23, according to Maslow. And chances are you may not because most people never reach that. I said, but this is a lot more serious than you think it is. You guys think this is just a joke. It's not a joke. And I said, this is a bioweapon, according to multiple resources and multiple scientists, including Harvard-trained PhDs, that's been released on the population of the planet for eugenics, for reduce the population, and to collapse the financial system. And they said, what do you mean? They said, where are you getting your information? And I said, tell you what, Google me. Because, you know, they have Google on their phones. They put in Ted B, and I popped in, Ted Brower popped up. And I said, that's me. And I said, guys, I'm not trying to tell you that I'm clairvoyant and I have all the answers. But what I am telling you is this. You need to turn off the TV set. You need to start following alternative news. Listen to the Ted Dawson Brower show. Listen to the Hagman show. Listen to the Hodges show. Realize what's going on around you and get awake really fast because you don't have a lot of time. Look around you. There's four people in the theater tonight. The system's coming apart. And they looked at me and go, whoa, we didn't think about that. We'll definitely check it out. I said, nah, you probably won't. That's okay. I've told you now. I'm that watchman on the wall that's warned you. And I hope and I pray that you do check it out. What do you think, Doug?
Well, yes. Yes.
Yes.
I mean, you can put a period right there. You know, look, as I followed your track, pretty much everything you stated is what I've been saying. I mean,
we've all been saying it, Doug, you know?
Yeah. And the only question I have, and I would toss this out to the people listening and viewing this is, where does this end? I mean, will this end with our acquiescence to a one world, new world order? Are we going to acquiesce to a mass surveillance state that poses a greater threat than the actual event itself? Not to downplay the event, but, you know, so this is what I'm, so yeah, I would just put a period after everything you said. And I'm ready just for a mic drop moment, and not me, but I mean, just have the mic drop and walk away. And, you know what? I think the people who either haven't decided or who have decided inconsistent with the facts have made an egregious error. So the bottom line is this. Are we going to change any more minds? Are we just talking? Are we preaching to the choir at this point? Are we doing any good? That's my question, because I'm looking for somebody to put in my resignation to. Seriously. At this point, does it matter? Go ahead.
You know, you said something about that. The other day, Chuck Baldwin. I know a lot of guys. I know a lot of you guys don't like Chuck Baldwin. I love Chuck Baldwin. I'm standing with Chuck Baldwin. I love Chuck Baldwin. And he said basically that we've been sold down the river and that we have believed that Donald Trump is going to do what he says he's going to do at his conventions, which he's done a few of those things, but he's also the one that pushed the red flag gun laws last summer. We forgot about all that. With Senator Lindsey Graham, we forgot all about that one. And they said that short of arming Iran, he said this in the article, I'm paraphrasing Chuck, he said short of arming Iran and nuking Israel and wiping it off the face of the map, that the evangelicals will not question anything Trump does, that basically it's God worship, Messiah worship, or whatever, I'm paraphrasing Chuck now, of Donald Trump. And I tell people, I say, look, I like it when Donald Trump says stuff that's right, but I like it a lot more when he does stuff that's right. But when he does stuff that's wrong, we can't do what we did with George W. Bush and forget about it, pretend like he didn't just do that. And we've got to hold his feet to the fire, if we even have the ability to hold his feet to the fire any longer, if the office of the presidency isn't just a figurehead position and he's following a script given to him by the international banking cartels, and we were all sold a bill of goods when we voted for him 3.5 years ago. Now, I don't want to believe that, but I'm to the point now where I pretty much do believe that. I believe that, Doug, that like you said, we are pretty much at this point preaching to a rah-rah hoopla section of our own listeners who basically agree with what we have to say, or they've already turned this show off tonight if they don't agree with me right. as a guest or right. you as a host. I mean, that's how we look at it. But what I have to believe is this. I believe that we have to look at a higher level. I mean, I want to be able to get to heaven and God say to me, well done, faithful, thy good and faithful servant. I want people to realize that we've got to fight the good fight to the end. Because, guys, if people get saved through this, if people accept Jesus Christ through this, if people start to question Donald Trump because of his inability to handle something like a virus and not have test kits available, you know, we've got to start asking ourselves questions. What's going to happen if we have a brokered convention with the Democratic Party? What if Biden and Hillary Clinton decide that they decide they're going to be the ticket? What if they decide that Biden basically has senile dementia, which I believe that he does, and Hillary Clinton takes over the office? I mean, what if all these things? And then we have to ask another question. Are we still looking at the same sides of the coin with Clinton or with Trump? I don't know. Otto Kahn said we were in that article that I've quoted on USA Guys so many times. He was the guy, he built the second biggest home in the United States, just under the Biltmore estate. He said the international bankers control the earth. They hold it by its axis and they turn it any way they want to turn it to get their desired outcome. He said that they control both the communism movement and the nationalist movement and free enterprise. He said they control everything. And he says they use they use communism as a brake, and they use basically free enterprise as an engine, and they can make the planet do whatever they want to do and turn it any direction they want to turn it in to get their desired outcome. That's what Otto Kahn said. Now, he was one of the founding members, you know, of the Federal Reserve Bank in 1913, and he had built the second biggest home in the United States, just slightly smaller than the Biltmore estate. I mean, this guy was super rich, or he was another Rothschild cutout probably, but the point is this. This is the group that runs the planet, guys. And you gotta walk, and see, these guys are so corrupt, and their Babylonian money magic is so evil and so horrible, and it's a giant Ponzi scheme, and they had to find a way to cover their tracks. And what a perfect way to do that, by unleashing a pandemic on the planet and causing a global financial collapse. They can say, we had nothing to do it. It was the coronavirus. By the way, when I listened to Donald Trump with his little 9-minute speech the other night, telling everybody that they were gonna basically stop the travel from Europe, to me, it sounded an awful lot like George W. Bush saying, you know, we are at war. You're either with us or you're with the terrorists. But now it's not terrorists anymore, is it? It's the coronavirus. It had the same tenor, the same type of speech. And, you're either with us or you're with the terrorists. You're with us or you're with the coronavirus, Doug.
Well, you know, look, I think in my view, I disagree a touch with you there. Although I know he doesn't like teleprompters. Now, he had a news conference today at 3:00. Of course, I'm going to be talking about that, folks, independent of probably throughout the weekend here on this channel. But here's the thing. They unleashed this virus, I think, Ted. This was as much a weapon against this against this administration than it is against the American or against the world, I should say. This is in my view. I think the deep state has a disdain for President Trump. I don't know. Do you think that or no? I think they hate him.
No, I don't. I don't believe that at all. I believe the media is being used as an engine against Donald Trump to make us believe that he's telling us the correct narrative. I believe that we basically are being sold a bill of goods so that the patriots and the people who basically are armed in the United States, who are waiting, hopefully not for a Russian revolution or somebody to come over here and attack the United States, to stand in defense of their country. So they basically allow Donald Trump to do whatever he wants to do. I believe they're controlling both sides of the narrative, Doug, because I know that he was bought out by the Rothschild Banking Inc. in 1989 with Wilbur Ross, and I know that he's one of his primary. I'm just telling you the way I see it now. Because after 3 years of this, you know, and I'm more leaning with Chuck Baldwin, and I hope and pray that I do what's right with Donald Trump. I pray for him all the time. I hope and pray that he gets convicted to tell the people the truth. But guys, we've got to stand firm in what we know right now. We've got to protect ourselves and protect our families. And starting with that, we have to keep our hands clean, keep them washed, and make sure we take supplements that are keep our immune system strong. That's all we can do at this point. And believe in God for deliverance.
I 100% believe in what you just said there. I really do. Ted, I want to thank you. What an engaging conversation that was. All right, that was Ted Brower. Dr. Ted Brower from HealthMasters.com. HealthMasters.com, HR5, is the coupon code. The best supplements, the best nutritional supplements you can buy. And do yourself a favor. Order right now. Order tonight. May God bless. Thank you, everyone. Have a great weekend. And watch this channel, by the way, for additional updates. Without any further explanation or further introduction, I want to get right to Dr. Cottrell because he's being very gracious with his time. He's a busy guy. Paul, welcome back, sir.
Hi, Doug. How you doing? Dude. Thank you for having me.
Well, thanks for your patience. We had some technical issues bringing you on. I appreciate your patience with that. Let's just get right into what's going on here. You know, we've got COVID-19, the virus versus the impact from what we're seeing as this virus and a mass surveillance state, which I believe poses a greater threat. So let's get right into it. Since your last appearance, a lot's going on, and you turned out to be 100% accurate. What have you found out here, or what's different since the last time you were on?
Well, one important part to add to what we found lately is that there's actually two strains. One strain is actually called the ATG13. We believe it actually came off of the Wuhan strain. So we have actually two main genomes to look at. So, and the virulence are probably different. When I looked at the HIV homology between the Wuhan strand, we had a strong HIV homology. On the RATG13 strain, we have a little bit of a breakdown of the HIV homology. And that's why we think that the Wuhan strand came first, and then the RATG13 came from that. That breakdown in the homology is actually at the GAG insertion point for the S protein. Now, that's the news for how this virus has been mutating or evolving.
All right.
Now, I'm concerned. I'm concerned about the United States at this moment. You know, we already have 1,200 cases. So I personally believe that there is psychological thresholds in terms of confirmed COVID-19 cases. The first psychological threshold is 100. Then the next psychological threshold is 1,000. We've already passed that. So we're starting to see the panic buying. The real pandemonium will hit once we hit 10,000. And we're not that far away from the 10,000 confirmed cases. And there is still a lot of almost apathy out there. They don't realize that this virus is bioengineered and it's much more virulent than the common flu. People need to take precautions.
I didn't mean to overtalk you, but when I look at message boards, specifically the conservative, politically conservative, they're saying, this is, look at the deaths. I mean, more people have died from falling in the bathtub than this virus. Speak to that if you don't mind.
Well, I mean, falling in the bathtub is just pure happenstance. This virus is bioengineered.
Okay.
And it was designed to kill.
Okay, that's
That's the point that I'm trying to make is that yes, there's lots of things that could kill you, like going in a car and getting in a car accident, or just, normal, heart disease or whatever. But this virus was bioengineered to understand how it stays in the bat host. And it was leaked out of a very, very virulent laboratory, what we call a level 4 laboratory. So This is not zoonotic. This is not your normal garden variety virus. This is something that is highly dangerous. Now, I want to give you a little bit of a perspective on the modeling that I'm doing with this.
Okay.
We believe, all right, that half of the country over a 20-month period is going to get COVID-19, all right? This is not a two-month thing. This is going to come around. There's probably going to be a secondary and a tertiary wave. We do not know if it's going to be attenuated or if it's going to get worse with each wave. We don't know, and we will not know until we go through that exercise, right? But if the assumption is that the secondary and the tertiary waves are as bad as the first wave, then I believe that roughly 165 million people in the United States, I know this is a big number, and no one is probably publishing this other than on your show right now, but I believe 165 million people will be infected by COVID-19 in 20 months. All right. And I believe that the numbers on the Johns Hopkins database are deflated on purpose to prevent panic and to prevent economic collapse. Now, that assumption, again, is that the secondary and tertiary waves are just as bad or worse than the first wave. Second assumption is that the health constituency in our country is poor, either because of health or because we have an aging population. We have a lot of diabetes, we have a lot of heart disease, we have a lot of other underlying medical issues. These add complications if you get COVID-19. So that's part of the calculus of this. So 1/6 of 165 million people will have severe symptoms. 5/6 will be mild. So the far majority of the country will only get mild cases. But the ones they do get severe cases, 25% of them will die because of complications to other underlying diseases. So what that means, when you do all the numbers, it's about 6.8 million to 6.9 million people will die from complications to COVID-19 in the United States.
So just so I'm clear on this, 150 million in the population over the next 20 months infected, 1/6 of that.
Well, I was using 330 as the 330 million as the population. But either way, you use 300, yeah.
All right. So 100, help me with the math, 165.
165 okay. Roughly.
So 1/6 of that.
165 million.
Okay. So again, 1/6 of that, the aging, the impaired, the immune impaired and such. Right.
Right.
And the complications on 25% of that 1/6 is going to suffer the ultimate consequence of death, projected, perhaps.
1/6 of the confirmed COVID-19 cases will have severe complications.
Right.
25% of those
right.
will die from COVID-19 complications.
Okay. And this, people have a tendency to think that this is going to pass by summer. And you're saying, no.
The assumption that we're using is it has the same epidemiological dynamics as the Spanish flu of 1918, where it lasted for 18 months. I'm thinking this could last 18 months to 20 months.
All right. And you were,
and it had, you know, it had multiple waves.
Yeah, yes, it did. And people need to, I think people need to go back to that time and take a look at the documentaries. Some of them, now some of them, understate really what happened back then, but to see that it lasted, you know, I think what, 40 months about officially, you know, back in 1918 through 21. So people need to really understand how bad this could very well be. And folks, Paul Cottrell has been doing a lot of work. I want to get this in sooner rather than later. How can people support your work, please? Because we need you out there to be sounding the alarm bell. So where do people go to support
your work? I've been a very busy guy. But to support, you can join the Patreon account. They can, you know, just on my YouTube videos in the description box, you can click on the Patreon account. Okay. I'm actually surprised the lack of subscribers on Patreon. They can donate on my website. There is several donations that I receive, very generous donations, especially to, you know, cover international calls and stuff like that. Because I work with researchers in Europe. Yep. We have come out with a list of things that people can buy from their natural food store that are antiviral, antimicrobial, cytokine calming type nutraceuticals and homeopathic remedies, just in case their doctor or healthcare system starts to break down. Because this is an important thing here. If you're sick, you should see your doctor, because they have strong medication if they use it. Some of them are not using it. I don't know. But the people that I do know in Maryland that are doctors, they have cases that they're treating with chloroquinine, which is antiviral. It has a lot of side effects. We have an abundance of it. But I believe the better molecule is the Remdesivir, but that's still in clinical trials, and we do not have enough of that, even if it passes clinical trials. So we're in for a bumpy road here in terms of what we can use. But there are some protease inhibitors that doctors can prescribe that are very strong, that I highly recommend. But if your medical system starts to break down, you need to start thinking about how grandma, you know, started treating some of your ailments when you were young, and because that may be the only thing you have. And so we made a whole list on how, you know, what to get: the rosemary, the forskalowin, the relora, the calendula, birch bark, right, licorice root, these sorts of things. You know, people that have been in the homeopathic realm for a while understand that these are antiviral.
Yeah, you've done a very good job, by the way, in preparing people in that respect. And that's why I would urge everyone listening to support Dr. Paul Cottrell, his work. There it is on Patreon. Folks, you know, look, he's generous with his time. He does his own research. He's researching with others across the world and bringing you this information. All right. And the link will be in the Hagman Report Live program description box. If you want the truth as opposed to, you know, having somebody pee on your leg and telling you it's raining, of course, this guy, I believe, has the truth. All right. So I didn't mean to kind of derail you. So, all right. So we left off with really, two types of the long-term, I should say, long-term, ramifications of this 5-6 mild case, 1-6, not so much, and 25% of that really, could possibly perish. Those numbers are pretty significant. Continue, please, with your findings.
Well, I'm concerned about, again, this BioPatriot Act that I talked to you about. We're starting to see the emergencies at the state level, and now we're going to see it at the national level when Trump announces a nationwide state of an emergency. Now, that kicks in motion some federal aid to the states. So there's a legal reason why they need to announce the emergency. But there's also legal powers that it launches. And I am very concerned about our civil liberties and the erosion of our rights since 9/11, specifically due to the Patriot Act and this never-ending surveillance state that we see growing. And, you know, the high potentiality of social scoring in the United States. It's already instituted in China. And I believe what will happen is that because the economy is torn down, that it will force Congress to start legislating policies and give more powers that will decash. It was called decashing. We'll no longer have coins, and we will no longer have bills. And we'll have a digital currency that's issued by the Federal Reserve. They may make other digital currencies illegal. Not sure, but that's a potentiality.
Okay.
But it will be issued by the Federal Reserve, and it will be under the auspice that, well, this is going to prevent contagion because of a pathogen. Now, the average public may see that as, oh, that makes sense. But the reality of it is that the banks are unstable, and they want a decash system so you can't take the money out of the bank. They can float it, a two-day float. If you pull the money out, they can't float it. If you ask the money at the teller, they're supposed to give it to you, right, immediately. They can't float 2 or 3 days.
Right.
You're not going to stand in line for 2 or 3 days, right? IMF has been looking at this since 2015 about decashing the world. So this opens up the opportunity for a decashed world, which is one element of what I would call the BioPatriot Act. So we have this potentiality of decashing, and we also have the potentiality of forced vaccinations once they have the vaccine, which is a messenger RNA platform vaccine that hasn't been long-term tested, and they may force vaccinations just to get a job or to go to school. Like, for example, I've been accepted to medical school, so I had to go through a whole health check, and I had to go through vaccinations. They test my blood, and if my antibodies are too low for certain vaccines, I have to get another vaccine. So just to go to medical school, I was force-vaxxed, all right? And I'm not pro-vax or anti-vax. I'm in the middle. I want safe vaccines, all right? I don't believe that vaccines out there are safe, and I think that we're over-vaxxing our children and causing, unique problems and where, they have autism and different sure. different diseases. But, this may launch into a forced vaccine program that if you don't have these vaccines, you're not going to get a job. You'll have a low social score. So I'm very concerned about this rollout of a BioPatriot Act, and Congress is going to look at this as an opportunity to bring that in. And these agencies have some elements of power already. HHS and CDC has the power to basically detain you and confiscate your property under a situation that we have like today, where it's a pathogenic. If someone had TB, they basically lose their rights, and you get infirmed. So now look at that across the country.
Right.
We're talking about big numbers here. That could fall ill to this.
So what you're saying, if I'm reading this right, or if I'm hearing you correctly, I'm looking at an article by John Whitehead. It was published about a week ago, saying, look at what China is doing, and it doesn't matter what the nature of the crisis might be, whether it's civil unrest, national emergencies, unforeseen economic collapse, loss of functioning political and legal order, whatever it might be. There are problems here as they create a system of surveillance and a system whereby people cannot, for example, like you can't go to medical school without vaccinations. You're not going to be able to travel. You're not going to be able to use money, cash, have a job even. So there's a lot of potential issues here. And social media credit scores assigned to Chinese, we're seeing that in China and kind of coming in here. The real ID system, real name system. All of this. But what concerns me the most, and I think you're dead on, is this economic impact. How we've seen what the markets have done over the last, 3-4 days, just this week alone.
Just to add to this, Doug, and this is where I really bring something to the table, not just at the scientific level with what I'm doing at Harvard, but my PhD was in finance, and it dealt with chaos theory, and it specifically dealt with the data set pre-Lehman, during Lehman, and post-Lehman, okay, a 10-year data set on how to dynamically hedge. And I studied a lot about the Lehman crisis and what happened to markets. And people that are listening have to listen very carefully. All right. The stock market is going to go down 40% or more from the high. That means the S&P 500, which was at about 3,300 for the high of, will go down to about 1,800, 1,700. All right. If you trade it as an ETF, that means you're going to see the SPY go to 180 to 170. It's trading right now at 250. I recommend everyone that has stock to dump it because you're going to lose. And the reason why is that if you look at the VIX, the VIX index,
right,
it is at elevated levels that is the same as Lehman.
That's a volatility.
And if you look at the last 20 years, yes, if you look at the volatility index, the last time we saw elevated levels like we have is Lehman. It wasn't 9/11. It wasn't the tech bubble. It wasn't when we invaded Iraq 1 or 2 or Afghanistan or Iran issues. Oh. The last time we have seen this is Lehman, this level of elevation. Lehman was in the 80s.
Right.
All right. And we're at the 70s right now. And it normally, you know, a heightened alert in the stock market, you know, normally is around 25 or 30. And then it comes down really quick. It's called heterocydastic. But it's elevated. That means that the banking system is highly, highly leveraged and highly fragile.
So we're going to experience a theft of our wealth on a grand scale because of this. I mean, that's kind of what you're saying, if I'm hearing you correctly.
Yeah. I mean, there's two ways to look at it. There's some people that have money for savings, in the stock market, and the stock market's going to sell off and you're going to lose your money on that. When they switch to a new type of currency, this decashing, it's a resetting of the financial system, and you're going to be hurt that way too. Something similar happened during Roosevelt,
that's right,
where they did a reset and they took people's gold.
Yep. Yep.
Right. So this is something similar, but it's your dollar bills that you could hide under your mattress. You can no longer have now. Right. It's
right.
Something similar. It's different, but it's something similar. All right. So the banking system is stealing from you in a sense. But another way to look at it is this, the 0.1% or the 0.01% of the population, the uber wealthy that have most of the wealth or half, you know, more than half of the wealth.
Right.
They mostly have it in the financial markets. They earned it through the financial markets. All right. If the market collapses and there's a reset, it's very possible that the Bill Gateses, the George Soroses, the Warren Buffetts lose their money in a strange way. I think that's what needs to be done. These uber wealthy types need to lose everything because they are part of the problem.
I agree. Just not at the expense of we, the people.
There's there's the rub.
Right.
There's the rub. And here's the I am concerned. I'm a Trump supporter, and I will be a Trump supporter. All right, I'm going to vote for Trump. All right? Right, but I'm very concerned how this situation will turn out at the ballot box in November. I believe this: that if there is such a carnage that happens in the United States, as I'm predicting, all right, in the financial markets and on the health of the United States citizenry, there is a big chance that Trump will not be reelected. And there lies a whole new set of problems where it'll erode our civil liberties.
Of course.
So Trump's advisors really need to be on the ball and manage this and be transparent and don't focus so much on the financial side of this. Focus more on containment. You know, I'm for Trump, but I really do believe that he was a little too short, too late in terms of containment. All travel to the United States when we were talking last that we talked yep. should have been shut down.
And that was on the 17th of February,
not this
by the way, folks.
Cherry picking.
Right.
Yeah. Not this cherry picking. So, and it's crazy in my mind. He said yesterday, well, we're going to shut flights from Europe, but we'll still have them from the UK. Well, that doesn't make any sense. You know, you should shut everything from that area. I mean, the UK has cases too.
Sure they do.
Yeah. I think there's been too much of attention on the damage it could cause in the economy. And I can understand why, because people will vote based on their wallet. And so they were trying to downplay and prevent the economic shock of their policies, so it wouldn't hurt him in the election box. But by them doing that, it actually made the problem worse.
Okay.
And now we have more cases, and it's going to spread faster.
So I know you don't have a crystal ball, but how do you see this playing out from here? How do you see this playing out over the next – well, between now and the election, how do you see this playing out in the worst case scenario or best case or just whatever you have worked out?
All right. I'm going to do the worst case scenario and hopefully it gets better. All right.
All right.
The worst case scenario is you're going to probably see, 1 million people that are going to be, critically ill or die before November. Maybe 2 million. All right. And the economy is going to be in free fall and we're going to have a recession. May not be the typical defined recession where you have two quarters of negative GDP, but in terms of the stock market, it's going to be below 40% from the high. Okay.
All right.
So that's again, the SPY will be at about, the SPY is going to be at about 180, 170. And people are going to get freaked out and they're going to start seeing layoffs. And if that happens, I think Trump has a 50% chance of winning the election.
Only a 50% chance, you mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. When I spoke to someone who knew you were coming on and they wanted me to ask you this one question. Why is President Trump, having been exposed to multiple people with this COVID-19 virus, why has he been so cavalier publicly and not worried about his own health? That this comes from a couple of people, but one in particular.
Well, he's known to be a germaphobe, so it is strange.
Right.
It could be that maybe he feels that he's, you know, not vulnerable to it, you know, that he has a little like secret bubble around him that he won't get sick. It may be a leadership trait. Leaders, you know, step up to the plate and they're not afraid. That could be it.
Okay.
I think that's probably the reason that it's a leadership trait and that, you know, leaders just do and don't worry about their own health, their own, their own personal situation.
All right. Yeah. It was an interesting question when I read it and I just wanted to ask you about it.
Well, some people think maybe there's, you know, an antidote and, you know, that certain people only have the antidote. I don't believe that there's an antidote.
Okay. So in, to wrap this up, and I apologize for the abbreviated time. Two strains of this, of the virus, ATG-13, you named it as one, correct? ATG-13. Mm-hmm. And then the COVID-19, which was the initial virus? Am I using that correctly?
Well, here, COVID-19 is two main strains.
Okay.
The Wuhan strain and the RATG-13. We only have a sequence of one RATG-13 in the NIH database when I looked a few days ago. The Wuhan strands, there's over 30 now. So it's important to understand that there are stochastic mutations that take place that are minor, very minor. But this evolutionary mutation for RATG13 is a major mutation.
Okay.
That came from Wuhan.
Okay, very good. Folks, Paul, I'm going to have people, I'm going to direct people to your YouTube channel, and direct people to support you. I want to thank you. I apologize for the time issues, the abbreviated time that we had together. But I want to say thank you for everything you've done from the 17th of February when you first came on to today. You've been right. You've been correct, sadly. And I urge people to support Paul, his work, his research. He works hard. I want to say thank you so much for your time and coming on and giving us this update. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Doug.
All right.
Appreciate it.
That was about Dr. Paul Cottrell. Folks, we're up against the top of the hour. Break, network break. We'll be right back. Stay right where you're at.